We're going to learn Daf Tes and Masechtas Ksubas. We're going to start from the last three words on the bottom of Daf Ches Amud Beis. So here we go. Amar Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Lozer says, Ha'oimer Pesach Pesuach Matzosi Neman Lo Yisraelov. That is the sentence. What does that mean? Somebody who comes to Beis Din and says that a Pesach Pesuach Matzosi, which means that he found that his wife was not a Basula, that he could tell that she had relationships before the night of their marriage. So he is Naaman to make her usser. Meaning he's Naaman to say that chances are that he's right, and that the Gemara is going to explain what the point is. He knows that she was Mizana, and therefore he has a right to say that it might have happened while they were already engaged, during the engagement, which would have been a time that it's usser for her, and therefore he's not allowed to live with her anymore. She's like anybody else who's Mizana during a regular marriage. That is the sentence. So again, I put in a little bit more, too much information, but basically Rav Elazar's statement is that he comes into Beis Din and he says that she was not a Basula, because I could tell, because she was a Pesach Pesuach, and therefore he's Naaman, we believe him, to say, you know what you're talking about, and you can say that she's also, that she was Mizana. Now, first, the Gemara asks some very technical questions. Why do we even believe him in the first place? Svek Svekahu. Even if he knows what he's talking about, and even if he knows that she was not a Basula, it's still a Svek Sveka about what happened. First of all, Safek Tachtav, Safek Ein Tachtav. First of all, the first two sides of the question are, it's only Osir if she was Mizana while they were married. So we don't know Tachtav means under him, meaning while they were married, versus not married. It could have happened before they got married in the first place, which in which event it would have no halachic impact for purposes of this halacha. And v'imtim saloi retachtav, and even if it did happen while they were married, which would be problematic, suffik v'ayna, suffik v'rasin, you don't actually know the details of what happened. It could have been against her will. And if it was against her will, even if it happened while they were married, doesn't make her usser. So what is the problem over here? So why would Beis Din go ahead and give a psak that she is usser if there's room, or there's real potential for this not to be usser? Not only one suffik, but two sveikas. Even on the tzad that she's usser, it could be that she's not usser. Even if it happened while they were married, it could be that it happened in a way that would not make her usser. So the Gemara gives two answers to eliminate at least one of the two questions. Like Tzricha, so the case over here that we believe him is Be'eshes Kohen. The first tarot says that they married to a Kohen. The halacha is, as you know, that a wife who's married to a Kohen, if anything happens, even against her will, it's not her fault, she cannot remain married to the Kohen. So that eliminates the second possibility of whether or not it happened against her will or not. It's not relevant anymore. All we need to know is maybe it happened with them married, maybe not. Okay, that's one suffik. With suffik, okay, we're going to go to Chumro and we're going to say, since he has a problem with it, we're going to say that, you know, we have to be machmer. So that's one answer. V'bayisema, another answer is, Be'eshes Yisrael, we could be talking about, you know, the average girl, so we don't have to limit the case. We're talking about a case where the father got engaged when she was under 3 years old through the father. The father is always able to marry off his daughter if he wants to. So he was mekabel the kedushin under 3 years old. Now the halacha is that you just have to know factually the din is that if a girl, somebody lives with a girl under the age of 3, her basulim will grow back. After the age of 3, if somebody lives with a girl over the age of 3, it will not grow back. So the fact that he's able to say that she was not a basula, that means by definition it had to have happened after she was 3 years old. Because anything that would have happened before 3 years old, you wouldn't be able to tell. It would be back to new condition. So therefore, the fact that he's able to tell that something happened must be that it happened while they were engaged. So again, the case over here is a little bit of a strange case, which is that the father must have accepted the kedushin while she was under 3 years old. So now anything that happens, and now they're getting married when she's already over bas mitzvah. Because if they got married before she's bas mitzvah, again, then it's not a problem, because anything that would have happened during their marriage, if she's under bas mitzvah, would be considered an oinus. Under 12 years old, we consider it an oinus anyway. So it has to be that they're getting married after she's 12 years old. So there was at least a time period where it is possible for her to have been mezana beratzin, and that would have made her usser. So now, there's no question, so what we did is, we eliminated the question of whether it happened while they were married or not. by definition, by the fact that she's not a basula today, means that it had, something happened while they were engaged. And now it's just a question. Did it happen by accident, by Ines or Baratzin? So again, we're down to one question. This guy wants to be machmer on himself, and he wants to consider it as if it happened in a bad way, and therefore, Bezdin's gonna go with that and say that she is going to be usur. Okay. As Rashi himself says, by the way, Rashi over here, at least right away, says that even if he's neman to asa her, that he's not allowed to remain married to her, still at this point over here, he is not neman to be mafsed her ksuba. Meaning he's neman for himself to say that I think that I'm asur and I have to act accordingly, but he can't impact her because he has no evidence really, he has no proof from her perspective that she is usur. Only from his perspective. He'd have to divorce her because he's usur to her, because he thinks he's usur. But according to the way Rashi learns over here, on the third skinny line, Rashi says that he still would have to pay her ksuba like anybody else who's divorcing a wife, because he has no evidence, he has no halachic evidence to make her lose her ksuba. But even so, the Gemara asks, "My kamash malon, Tanina, what's the chiddush over here? We learned this concept before because it's that a person's able to be machmer on themselves because we have another Mishnah, another Braisa that says, "Oimer leisha kiddush ticha, v'hi oimer like kiddush tani." A guy goes over to a woman on the street and says, "Hey, how you doing? You're my fiance. We got engaged." And she says, "I don't know what you're talking about. We never got engaged." So, what would be the halacha over here? And Rashi says the case is that the edim went abroad. That the Edom are not here anymore, so we can't ask the Edom either it happened in public or it didn't happen, and somebody has to know. But the Edom that they claim that would know this information are not around. So now the question is she married or not? So the halach is very simple. Same idea. He, Mutaris Bekrevav, she, because she claims they never got married, she remains Mutter to marry his relatives. So she could, for example, marry his father, marry his brother, because she never married him. Who also bekrave seha, but he would remain usher to marry her relatives. He can't marry her mother or her sister and so on. Because, as far as he's concerned, he was already married to this woman, he can't marry her relatives. Oh, anyway, so the question of the Gemara is, if so, we see this concept that a person is able to decide for themselves whether in relations to somebody else, whether they're mutter or usher. So the Gemara answers, you would have thought like this. The chiddush of our Gemara is like this. Hosom devadei kimle. Over there, when it comes to getting engaged, a person knows very clearly, I gave you the money, the ring, whatever it is, I gave you something, I know what happened, I know the act is very clear, and therefore, he can definitely make that statement that he knows what happened. Aval hocha, make him hudalai kimle. But over here, when it comes to whether she, or not she's a basula, it's not something that he can be absolutely positive about. And the way Rashi learns is that we're talking about a bachur who's never been married before, so he doesn't really know in absolute terms whether or not he knows what he's talking about. Kamash malon, that's the chiddush of our Gemara, is that even so, we consider it and we deem it as if he does know what he's talking about, and we will, again, paskin the halacha as if he mamish, just like it's obvious when he gets engaged to a girl, he knows what happened. So too over here, we're gonna consider the halacha as if he really knows what he's talking about, and therefore he is going to be usur because we take his word for it. He knows what he's talking about, and those are the halacha, those are the ramifications of what he said. Okay, so that's the chiddush of a Gemara. So the Gemara says, so now remember, this is Rabbi Elazar who made the statement that you have a right to decide that she's going to be usur. So the Gemara says, Umi Amar Rabbi Elazar, Hachi, did Rabbi Elazar really holds of this concept? Vamar Rabbi Elazar, Eina Ishane Aseres Abala, Ella Al Yede Al Iske Kino Vestira, Ukumaisa Shahaya. That's Rabbi Elazar's other statement. He says that a woman doesn't become necessarily usur to her husband because he said so. There's a process. If a guy wants to make his wife usur, then he has to warn her. This is the short version of Saita, which is he warns her not to hang out with a particular woman, with a particular man, and then she goes, and there are Edom that say that we do see her hanging out with that particular guy. That is the process that the Torah put in place. If you're concerned or suspect that your wife is doing something she shouldn't be doing, this is the process. Not just wake up one morning and you decided that that's what happened. And with the story with David HaMelech and Bathsheba that we'll see in a moment what happened over here. So that over there also that David HaMelech lived with Bathsheba. So in any event, we see that Rabbi Elazar says on the contrary, that you can't just decide that you want to make her usur. It's not something, it's not up to you to decide. There's a process and you have to go through the process. Now let's talk about that statement first in order for this. So the contradiction is simple. The contradiction is, first statement Rabbi Elazar says, I could wake up in the morning and say that I think she's usur. And the second statement is, no, the Torah gives a process how to do it. You have to do the state. You have to go through the process. So which one is it? So, before we get to the answer, let's first understand what this story over here is, with Tisbara. This story of Maisa Shahaya is a little bit difficult to understand, because over there, there was no Kina Vestira. And that's why the Gemara itself says, Vitizbara, let us understand what's going on over here. Maisa Shahaya, Vikina Vestira, Have. The story with Uri, with David HaMelech and Uriah and Basheva was, there was no Kina Vestira. Just so that you know, the basic story is that Uriah was married to Bathsheba. David HaMelech sent Uriah out to war and eventually had a plan, because Uriah was married to Malchus, so David HaMelech had a plan so that he would send him into battle in a way that he knew that Uriah would get killed. He basically sent him into an ambush. He knew that there was an ambush there, and he sent him in there anyway. Anyway, so now that Uriah died, so Bathsheba was no longer married, and it was okay. And David HaMelech lived with Bathsheba. But the problem was, as we'll see in the Gemara on the bottom of the Amud, the problem was that David HaMelech actually lived with Bathsheba before Uriah died. So we'll deal with that issue in a moment. In any event, so Bathsheba and David HaMelech lived together, and then ultimately, what you need to know is the end of the story is, and then eventually David HaMelech took Bathsheba as a wife. So he continued to live with her after the story as well. Okay, now, so that's why the Gemara has a couple problems with this. So first the question is, the Maisa Shahaya Bikina Vestira Have. First of all, there was no Kina Vestira in that case. It wasn't that Uriah had a problem with Bathsheba and David. That was never the problem. So what are we trying to bring a Raya? Again, the simple way of understanding this, that there was Kina Vestira involved, if in fact the whole story didn't involve Kina Vestira at all. So that's one problem. And the second problem is the bigger issue. Va'oid mi asrua. And second of all, she didn't become Aser. As we said before, if you know the story was that ultimately Bathsheba became one of David HaMelech's wives and continued to live with David HaMelech. So if that's the case, then that proves exactly the opposite of what Rabbi Elazar was trying to say. If you want to say that this was a Kina Vestira case, then it has the opposite effect of saying that it's mutter even with Kina Vestira, if that's what happened. So the Gemara says, okay, let's clear the air over here. Let's explain what really happened. Holy Kasha. This is not a kasha. This question of why wasn't she usher is not a question, because hachi ka'omar. What we meant to say is like this: Eina isha ne'aseres al bala, that a woman does not become usher to her husband, ella unless al iske kino vestira, unless there was kino vestira. That is the only way you become usher. And the proof to that is mimaisa shahoya, and the proof is from the story of David HaMelech and Bathsheba. Deloy have a kino vestira, that over there it did not involve the regular process of kino vestira, veloy itzera, and she did not become usher. So we see that's exactly, in other words, the proof is exactly, it does prove that you need Kina Vestira, but it proves it with a double negative. It proves it by saying, since there wasn't Kina Vestira, that's why you weren't Usher. So we see that the only way to become Usher would have been through Kina Vestira. Oh, so that's so. Okay, fine. So now that explains, at least we understand the statement of Rabbi Elazar. Mikol Mokum Kasha. But in any event, the whole point of our original question now is still a very valid question. We started off again our sugya today with Rabbi Elazar saying that a guy is able to decide on his own that his wife is usher. And we have another statement from a Rabbi Elazar that says, no, the only way you can get her usher is through Kina Vestira. So, make up your mind. Is there a particular process, or is it a guy can make up his own mind? As the Gemara says, Mekol Malkum Kasha, we're still left with the Kasha itself. What the intrinsic question is, Kina Vestira in Pesach Pesuach Loi, that the only way to make her usher is if you go through the process of warning her and then she goes and decides her, and not just he wakes up on his own and decides that Pesach Pesuach. So the Gemara says, fine. Ula Taimech, let's talk about that. Now you're trying to convince me that the only way that a wife can ever become usher to her husband is through Kina Vestira. So the Gemara says, the way the Gemara phrases the question is like, Ula Taimech, according to your reasoning that Kina Vestira is the only way to make her usher, Kina Vestira in Edom Loi, you're going to tell me that, oh, I have to go through this process. But if two guys knock on my door and say, I saw what happened, I saw her be Mazana, you're not going to believe them? Of course you're going to believe two Edom. So we see that there obviously are other ways to make a wife usher, that a wife will ultimately be usher. That concept is not, it's not limited to the only way. So what he meant to say is like this. So now we're going to explain the big picture. That a person, a wife, does not become usher to her husband with just one witness say so. It has to be a regular witness. You have to have two witnesses, like everything else. We learned at a moment, Dabar Dover, that the pasuk says by money also that you need that Eineda Chod Neman, it says, as Rashi says, Afilu Betumo, Eid Echod is, right, Dixiv Eid, okay, that's by Soita. By Soita, 1 8 is good enough. But in general, by money, it says, sorry, right, it's Eid, Dabar Dover, the same way by money you need 2 Eidim, so too by Erva also you need 2 Eidim. Okay, so clearly we agree that 2 Eidim works. That was never the question. The issue was with 1 Eid. And then the other half of the statement is now back in the Gemara, finishing off the statement. V'kina v'stira afilu v'eid echad nami. So the chiddush is that kina v'stira. The point that Rabbi Elazar was trying to make was when you don't have 2 Eidim, then you need kina v'stira in order to make her aser. But here's the chiddush. So now to answer the contradiction, upesach pesuach kishnei Eidim dami. And Pesach Pesuach is like 2 Eidim. His say-so on his own matters, he has the same equivalence, and of course all the Rishonim go, and there's a lot of explanation over here, and a lot of Achronim explain what this is, so I'm not going to try to say one of the many different Pshatim, but the point is like this. The bottom line is that his say-so works at the same level that 2 Eidim work. The same way when 2 Eidim come into Beis Din and give testimony about a fact, we believe that fact. So too, this Pesach Pesuch, when he walks into Beis Din, even though he's 1 Eid, and even though it's about himself, and so on and so forth, he is going to be believed on the same level as 2 Eidim. That is the simple explanation in the Gemara. Okay. Shnei Eidim Dami. Again, as I said, there are many Mefarshim over here that explain this is the crux of the Gemara over here. Okay. So that's why over here it works. So really, ultimately, both Rebbe Elazar's statements are true. If you're talking about 1 Eid, the only way to make her aser is with Kina V'stira. If you're talking about 2 Eidim, Mamish, of course we're going to believe 2 Eidim. That's the Torah sets us up, that 2 Eidim are always believed. And then also him, by himself, the Rebbe Elazar's original statement is that a husband also can be the equivalent of 2 Eidim, and therefore we'll believe him as well. Okay, fine. Now let's go back to the Rebbe Elazar's second quote was that we talk about the story of David HaMelech, and we know that ultimately he was mutter to remain married to her. Now, so the Gemara says, V'chi teima ma'isa shahaya, and if you're going to ask me, if nei ma'lo yasrua, so why taka didn't she become aser? If the fact is, again, as the story goes, that David HaMelech lived with Bathsheba while she was technically still, I'll say technically for now, still married to Uriah. So why was it okay for David to continue to be married to her after Uriah died, was killed? So the Gemara answers a very big chiddush. Hosam oynes havei. The first answer is that he was ma'anis her. And the rule is as follows. Normally, the only reason why somebody, a second person, has an affair with a married woman, cannot remain married or cannot marry that woman, is because we have a rule. That means if she becomes usher to go back and live with her husband, she then becomes usher to go back and ever get hook up with this boil, with the guy she was mezana with. However, that's the statement. However, the flip side, what the Gemara over here is being mechadash is, the other side is also true. If she does not become usher to her husband, then the other side is also true. She does not become usher to the boil. So here the chiddush was, she did not become usher to Uriah, because she was an oinus. As an oinus, she didn't do anything wrong. So she could go back to her husband. So the same way she could go back to her husband, it was permissible for her to go back to David HaMelech. Very big chiddush. The other teretz is, and maybe something that's more well known, the second teretz is like this: Kihod Amar Rabbi Yishmael Bar Nachmeni Amar Rabbi Yonason, that it says in the name of Rabbi Yonason now on the top of Tes Amud Beis. Kol Hayotzen LaMechamas Beis David. Anybody who went out to war in the times of David HaMelech, get Krisus Kosov LeIshtoi. They used to write a get to their wife before they went out to war. Because this is what Yishai taught David HaMelech. It says, Ve'es achicha tifkoid l'shalom, ve'es arovoysam tikach. That you should teach your brothers for the sake of peace, and their connection you should take. So, the Gemara itself explains, what is this connection, what is this talking about? My ves arovoysam tikach. What does that mean that you should take their connection? So, Tani Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef taught us, Devarim ha'muravim beino lebeino, the thing that makes him and her together, which, as we know, means the Kedushin. So, basically, what Yishai was saying was that before you go out to war, you should give this a get, so that you should make sure that they're not married anymore, so that way, if anything happens at war, so the way Rashi is Masbir, the way Rashi learns, is that you give a conditional get. And the conditional get is that if something happens and I do not return from battle, so the Chiddush over here is either because he's MIA, he's missing in action, he never comes back, we don't know where he is, or because he died at war, that means that the get is Chal Lima Freya, to say that she was really divorced the whole time, so she's never left with an aguna. This is what David HaMelech used to do. Anyway, to answer our question, and now we understand why it was not a problem for David HaMelech, because since Uriah would have done what David HaMelech told him to do, like everybody else, he would have given Bathsheba a get, and the fact is that he did not come back from war. So Mamela, the get would have been Chal Lima Freya, which means Lima Freya, that when David HaMelech lived with her, she really technically was no longer married anymore. And since she wasn't married, it wasn't a problem. So therefore, that was why it was okay for David HaMelech. I'll just point out, just a very simple thing. So Rashi learns it was a conditional get. Tosfos actually learns that it was an actual get. They would give them a get, and then they would get remarried. Then they would get remarried when they would come back from war. That's the way Tosfos learns the sugya. Of course, by the way, if anybody's asking, wants to know, what would a Kohen do? Because a Kohen can't get remarried if he gives her a get. The answer is because Kohanim didn't go to war. Kohanim did not go to war. That's one of the rules about who goes to war and who doesn't go to war. So Mamela, this would not be a problem. Everybody who was going to war was somebody who could do this technical Eitza of giving the get now and getting remarried later if they needed to. In any event, that answers our question. That's why it was okay for David HaMelech to continue to live with Bathsheba, because it turns out retroactively that Uriah and Bathsheba were not married, and that's why it was okay for David to live with her. Okay. Yes. Omar Abaya. So the Gemara says, okay, this concept that we're talking about, that a person can aser himself, and he's named to say Pesach Besuach. So Omar Abaya, Afana Nami Tanina. We also learned this, that there's that a person is Naaman. Because it says, we bring a Braisa, Pesula Nisus Liyay Merevi. So we all know this concept, that a Pesula gets married on a Wednesday, and we Merdayak Liyay Merevi in Liyay Mechamishi Loi. We purposely have them get married Wednesday night, so as we know, so that they can go to Bezdin already on Thursday, and not Thursday. Thursday is too late. So my taimo, and why is Thursday considered too late? Mishum akuridaita, because we're afraid, because till Bezdin will open up is only going to be till Monday. By then, it's already 3 days later, he'll cool off. Okay, fine, so we don't want him to cool off, because we want him to go to Bezdin. We want him to say, if he has a problem, we want him to say and let us know that she's really awesome. Now, Ulamai, why is he coming to Bezdin? Ilam Esav Laksuba, if it's because he wants to get divorced and give her a Ksuba, Nesav Laksuba, you always have the choice. Again, in Hilchas Gittin, Midarais, on a Daraisa level, a husband always has the choice to give his wife a get, and that's that. That can't be the reason why we're instituting the fact that Bezdin has to be available for the situation. If he wants to get divorced, that's always up to him. That's nothing to do with us. Elo la'oisra'ala. Must be. The reason why we're so careful about this is because if they're not allowed to live together, we want them to consider themselves usr. Okay, fine. So ultimately to become usr. However, v'dekotoyin taino mai. Now, what's he going to come to Bezdin and say? Lav dekotoyin taino's pesach basuach. Must be that he's coming to say that now this is what Abaya is trying to prove. That he's trying to prove the Pesach Pesuach. And we see, Abaya is saying, very clearly from this Braisa, the fact that the Mishnah wants him to come to Bezdin must be that he's going to come to say Pesach Pesuach. So we have a Raya L'Choiro that Pesach Pesuach is Neman, that he is believed to say that she is not a Basula. So the Gemara says, Loi. That's not a good Raya. So Abaya's Raya fails. Why? Dekotoyin Tainas Domin. The answer is over here, he has something more concrete than the fact that I think, or I felt as if that she wasn't a Basula anymore. Rather, he comes with Tainas Domin. He's able to come to Bezdin and prove that she wasn't a Basula with actual physical facts. that he has the sheets that are clean and shows that she, that was no damim. And if there was no damim, that means that she was not a basula. So that everybody agrees is neman. That's not a chiddush. If a person has physical facts to prove his point, and don't forget, we, under normal circumstances, there are shoshvinin over here, there are, you know, bridesmaids and groommaids or whatever they're called, and they're able to prove that that there's no damim over here. So of course that everybody would agree that that's a good proof. So again, Abaye tried to prove that. What else is he saying? Must be saying pasuk v'surach. And ultimately, the Gemara says no, that we believe him because he's bringing real facts of damim. Then the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Haimer pesach v'surach matzasi. The guy who says, so Neman lahafsik suba, so Rabbi Yehuda says, Erechanami, not only, so this is interesting, this is different than what we said originally. Rabbi Lozer's statement was that Pesach Pesuch Matzasi, the significance was that he could say, okay, we have to end this marriage. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel's situation says that when he says Pesach Pesuch Matzasi, is also Neman to say that she doesn't get her ksuba anymore. Now only, not does it only impact himself, but now he could even say something which will impact her. Okay, this is a big chiddush, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Amar Rabbi Yosef Mai Kamash Malon, but the Gemara itself says, what's the bechidish tanina? We already know that either he's neman or he's not neman because we have a brisa that says, ha'oichal eitzachama b'Yehuda shaloi be'edim. A chosin, a son-in-law, or a fiance, we should say, goes over to his father-in-law's house, in Yehuda specifically, and there are no edim about what happened over here. Eni yachalita in tanis basulim. He can no longer make a statement after they get married on the chosin a night that she wasn't a basula. Why? Because he used to spend time with her. So in Yehuda, they had a minig that even while they were engaged, the chosin and kala, when they were together, they used to spend the night together. So therefore, he can't come to the chasana and say, hey, what happened over here? He knows very good and well what happened. He's been with her, a couple times already before they got married. But the diyuk is like this. That's the statement. That's negeya, benegeya to the culture in Yehuda. So the Gemara says, b'Yehuda hu d'loy matzi toyin. So that's because in Yehuda, as we said, that they had a minig that the chasana and kala would be together. Habigalil. But if you're in the areas of Eretz Yisrael, the Galil, the upper region, where they did not do this, matzi toyim. He's able to say, hey, we wake up by the chasana and say that she's not a basula. Now, once again, ulamai. What is the significance of being allowed to make this statement? Ilo Yisrael Lov. If the reason he's making this statement is to say, hey, I think something, some funny business happened over here and I want to make her osir, Yehuda Mailoi. Why can't he do this in Yehuda also? If that's the significance of this halacha, in Yehuda also, any time a guy wants to decide for himself that I think that she's usher, then in Yehuda also, he could say she's usher. I mean, if he wants to say that even though we were together, we weren't actually together, and this is the first time I was with her, and I think that something happened, and therefore she should be usher, even in Yehuda, she can make that argument that even in Yehuda, she can make the argument, he can make the argument that something happened and she's usher. So that cannot be the point of this Mishnah, the significant difference between Yehuda and Galil. El alav, it must be that the difference is lafsida ksuba. It must be that he's trying to make her lose her ksuba as well. Now, that's a major difference between Yehuda and Galil. Because in Yehuda, if he comes to say she did something and she doesn't deserve her ksuba, Bezdin's not going to believe him. Again, to make yourself usher, you can make yourself decide you're usher anytime you want. That's because that it's for yourself. But now that you're deciding you want to impact her and say she lost her ksuba, we're not going to believe. We're going to say, what are you talking about? You guys have been together for 6 months already. Now you can't wake up one morning and decide that she doesn't deserve her ksuba anymore. Now it's too late. Okay, so we're going to say, but the chiddush is that in Galil, when nothing happened beforehand during the engagement, in Galil he is believed to make her lose her ksuba. This is a major chiddush. However, what's the case over here? V'dekotayin tainas taina mai. What did he say? What is he actually saying that next morning that's going to make him believed that she loses her ksuba? Lav dekotayin tainas pesach pesuach. And the case over here is that even just simply saying, I don't think she was a basula, is enough for Bezdin to believe her and not only make him usher, but also make her lose her ksuba. So we see that pesach pesuach is adequate to make her lose her ksuba. So the Gemara answers, no, the same thing we said before. Lav dekotayin tainas domim. that the case is that he has actual proof. And he's able to say that he's able to bring physical proof, again, as we said before, with the Shoshminin, and he's able to show that she was not really physically a Bisula, with, again, physical proof that the sheets are clean. And now we're able to say that's why he's Naaman to say that she loses her Ksuba, because this becomes like any other factual matter that Bezdin can verify. And Bezdin verifies that there was no, that she was not a Bisula, so now she no longer deserves to get her Ksuba. Okay, so that's where the Gemara over here is. So the major difference between Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel is Rabbi Lozer was saying that it's only relevant for himself, but she would still get her ksuba. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel is saying that if you believe him, we believe him even to make her lose her ksuba. At least Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel wanted to say, at least the Gemara had a havamina to say that would be Neman, even in the context of simply saying, I think, or I know Pesach Pesuach, to which the Gemara says that's really not enough of a proof to make her lose her ksuba, but rather he would have to actually have physical proof of besulim or the lack thereof. That would be a proof that would make him believe to say that she could even she will even lose her ksuba based on that information. Okay, we'll stop over here.